Let's call the meeting to order. Let the record reflect that it is 11:22 on Tuesday, March 10. Welcome to House Special Committee on Economic Development, Tourism, and Arctic Policy. Present, Representative Tilton, Representative Wohl, Representative Ortiz, Representative Heron. Today we have HCR 5, declare 2015-2017 as Years of the Arctic. This resolution resolves that the legislature declares 2015-2017 the Years of the Arctic, during which the state of Alaska should work to highlight the Arctic to Alaskans and Americans. The legislature encourages the state and its partners to work with the Institute of the North to promote state's Arctic policy and increase Arctic awareness. The legislature encourages the state to promote its Arctic policy during this period and address the strategic recommendations found in the Arctic Policy Commission implementation plan. So, to the committee, we do have a CS for House HR 5. Representative Tilton, could you move the CS for the purposes of discussion?
Yes, I move CS HCR 5, work draft 29LS0562/W.
Okay, and I'll object for discussions. Rob Earl, could you please take the microphone and explain the changes to the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Rob Earl, staff representative Heron. The CS is just because the original bill was going to draw probably a fiscal note, because it said the legislature was going to join Institute of the North, so we changed it to join with, because we really just mean work with the Institute to perform these actions, and so we're confident that we'll now avoid a fiscal note, or there is a zero fiscal note actually in your packet, so and that's it.
So just for clarification, there is no, by us joining with the Institute, there is no fees related to that.
No, sir.
Quote unquote, joining. Okay. Is there any questions so far from the committee? Oh, yes. Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Chairman Heron. So we're not joining as a membership with them. We're just joining alongside the Institute of the North, and the Institute of the North, as was one of the had a strong working on the implementation plan. Is that correct? So joining with the Institute of the North has a really positive effect on broadening the awareness on the Arctic issues.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Tilton, that's all correct. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions?
I do have a comment when we get to it.
To discussion, committee discussion?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, seeing no other questions, And I'll remove my objection as there's no objections to adopting the amendment. Now we will go to public testimony.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
That was the CS.
The CS.
We still have an amendment, amendment number one.
Oh, the CS. Oh, yeah, you're right. I can't even read my notes. Okay, let's go ahead and okay, Representative Tilton, can you move amendment number one? It's on the very last page, I think, there.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number one.
Okay, Rob, why don't you go ahead and explain the amendment for the record?
Robert, again, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's simply, it was a little duplicative because in the preceding whereas, we also mentioned to promote Arctic policy. So we deleted that in the last whereas, and we think it reads a little bit cleaner now.
Okay. All right. Seeing no questions, No objections adopting. I'll remove it. Okay, now we have the CS in front of us. Okay. Now we'll open public testimony. And we have online Drew Pierce with the chairman of the Institute of the North. Are you there with us, Drew?
I am, Mr. Chairman.
Please go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you for letting me testify today. My name is Drew Pierce. I am a former member of your body, along with the other body, and I also am serving as the chairman of the board for the Institute of the North. Nils Andreasen, whom I think you all know, is our executive manager of the Institute, and he is at meetings in Scandinavia, and so I'm doing the testimony today rather than him. The Institute of the North at our board meeting in January put out a press release declaring that we believe that 2015 through 2017 should be years of the Arctic, particularly in the United States, because a number of things are, of course, coinciding. Both the Policy Commission's good work in Alaska with the Arctic policy that is moving through the legislature, along with all of the recommendations and the implementation plan, along with the chairmanship of the Arctic Council itself by our federal government, the State Department, as well as the interest by Governor Walker in rejoining the Northern Forum, which is an organization of the northernmost states, provinces, and territories that Governor Hickel was instrumental in putting together. And unfortunately, the Alaskan membership has lapsed in the past decade, but Governor Walker and Mr. Flynn are very interested in re-upping, and we think that gives us, the state, another opportunity to be at the table when decisions are being taken, but also dialogue is happening about the Arctic and our very strategic place in it. At the Institute itself, we are changing a bit during these 2 years the way we do business. We've been doing Week of the Arctic for the past few years, and instead of Week of the Arctic, we are doing monthly Arctic-related business forums, as well as planning for some Arctic policy tours, but they're going to be here in Alaska this time. So as people come for Arctic Council events, we're going to invite them to events in our hub communities on Alaska, Nome, Kotzebue, Barrow, Bethel, other communities around the state, other hub communities, where we'll be able to not only update Alaskans on circumpolar affairs, but also hopefully show Alaska and allow Alaskans to have an opportunity to meet some of the folks who are coming in from the other countries for these Arctic Council-related events. We also have the Arctic Energy Summit this fall in Fairbanks, which is a major event and is associated with the Sustainable Development Working Group of the Arctic Council. And I believe that Rob has included in your packet what is a partial list, and let me stress, only partial list, of all of the Arctic events happening between now and 2017. This passing this resolution does not mean that any of you are expected to go to each and every one of these, but we would certainly hope that where possible, the state and the legislature take the opportunity to explain our beliefs about the Arctic to people from around the Arctic as well as in the lower 48. With that, Mr. Chairman, I am quite happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Drew. Any questions from committee members? So, Drew, just one question from me is, in looking at the schedule, of course, the first Arctic Council, the Sound meeting is in Anchorage in October. Have they decided on a date for that?
I believe the dates are set. I do not have them. I do not have them close at hand, but I do believe I've seen actual dates.
Okay.
Missing from this list, I might add, is a three-day Smithsonian Arctic Spring event, which is a kickoff event at the Natural History Museum here in D.C. for Arctic Council. That's May 8th through the 10th. We also understand that the State Department is planning a major kickoff event sometime later in May and are waiting to set a final date, waiting to make sure that the Secretary's schedule is cleared so that he can be part of that event. So I know there are kickoff events on this end, and I know that Nils has been talking to Mr. Fleener and others about the possibility of having some sort of an early event in Alaska just to perhaps telegraph to Alaskans that, okay, it has started.
Okay. Drew, one final question from me is you were at the Senator Murkowski's Arctic Opportunities hearing held in the Capitol, or held in the Senate building. Is just take a moment to reflect on how some legislators view Alaska in a different way than we would view it, of course.
Well, it's ironic, Mr. Chairman. So for those in the audience and for other members of the committee, what we experienced last Thursday when Senator Murkowski had her Senate Energy hearing about the Arctic was a showcase of the different attitudes toward not only development in the Arctic, but frankly toward Alaskans and toward economic survival for Alaskans. We heard two members of the minority talk about what they thought was an irony, that there were people at the table led by you, Mr. Chairman, along with Senator McGuire, as well as Mayor Brower from the North Slope Borough, who were speaking forcefully that Alaskans want the opportunity to have economic development and how very vital it is to our economy and to the ability of Alaskans to have continued jobs, whether it be in the villages, in the regional hubs, or even in the large cities. Two of the members of the Senate minority called on the members, or the people who were sitting at the table, to discuss what they saw as an irony, that Alaskans would be advocating for development both on and offshore in Alaska, while at the same time some of our communities are seeing the increased seas and are seeing the impacts from climate change or from storms, through whether it's erosion or in Newtok's case, of course, from the river taking away the village site. And you, Mr. Chairman, made a very strong statement about Alaskans understanding that we are seeing change, but we've been seeing change, certainly the indigenous Alaskans have been dealing with change in Alaska for 10,000 years and more, and will continue adapting and dealing with that change. But in the meantime, in order to have a strong economy and in order to have food security, you have to have economic development. And our resources are the opportunity for that development for the state of Alaska and for the people of Alaska. Senator Murkowski later called it very instructive in that we Alaskans heard what she deals with on a daily basis, but also we understand that while members in the Senate, even from other states, think nothing about what came before and the development that has already happened in their state. They want to turn Alaska into a pristine wilderness where we are not able to develop our resources. And they feel good about that because they say it's going to change climate change. So this focus on climate change in the Arctic could be difficult over the next 2 years for Alaska, because I think we're going to have to forcefully try to rebut the presumption by some that there should be no development in the Arctic, because that is going to lead to ever more climate change, and therefore we should not be allowed to develop our resources. So that's the conundrum, but that is what the senator, what the delegation faces on a daily basis. And it's important for us, I think, both to articulate the incredibly foresight that the legislature had in setting your statutory goals for renewable energy in Alaska. I believe we've got the strongest laws of all the 50 states and are moving toward those goals with more attention from the legislature than probably in any other state. So we are working on using renewables, but we're not going to be able to quit having some hydrocarbons and using those hydrocarbons overnight. And in some areas, you know, solar power doesn't work the same in Alaska that it does in Florida or even in Vermont.
Okay, Drew, thank you. Any questions for Ms. Drew Pierce? Well, I appreciate your testimony, Drew, and thank you for your leadership in the Institute of the North.
You are quite welcome. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify? Seeing none, we've closed public testimony. Now to committee discussion. Representative Tilton.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Heron. I recognize that this resolution doesn't discuss the issues of the Laws of the Sea Treaty, but I further recognize that that language is in the implementation plan, which we talk about in the last whereas. So on pages 4 and 5 of the draft implementation plan, it does refer to the legislation that's currently being considered by the 29th legislature, and I just want to go on record and clearly stipulate that I strongly oppose that inclusion of that language regarding the laws of the sea, and I feel like it's relevant to HCR 5 because the title and provision of HCR 5 refers to the document that does state reiterate the state's long-term standing support of ratification for the Law of the Sea Treaty. So when we're considering HB 1 in this committee, I didn't realize the laws of the sea implications, and so I just have heard from a lot of my constituents who have talked to me about it, and I just find it kind of troubling language. So
thank you for your comments, but let there be a clarification on the record. The Alaska Arctic Policy Commission submits to the legislature for consideration this language for an Alaska Arctic Policy Bill. It is possible that through the legislative process, changes will be made. And HB 1 is scheduled in Senate rules, and any reference to the Law of the Sea Treaty has been removed. So this is draft legislation. It's not the legislation.
Thank you, Chairman. I recognize that, but I just wanted it on record that I was opposed to that language.
No, and I understand that. Though it's in a draft legislation, as long as it passes the legislature, the reference to the Law of the Sea Treaty will not be in Arctic policy.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
So, Representative Wall. Clarification. So, Representative Heron, it's been withdrawn. The Law of the Sea Treaty language has been withdrawn at this point.
In this
document.
It's the document that was delivered on January 30th. The House Bill 1 that was introduced, and there was Senate Bill 16 that was introduced, when it went through the Arctic Committee on the Senate side, Law of the Sea Treaty was removed, and there were some other amendments, and then it went to Senate State Affairs, and there was further amendments, and so I don't have all those amendments in front of me, but it has been removed. but this was delivered as a commission report as draft legislation.
Sure.
So,
sure. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I didn't know that that language had been removed. I remember one of our last meetings we spoke with, I forget his name now, the person who was not available today.
Nels Andreas?
Nels, yeah, and I asked him specifically about that, and he thought it was, or no, actually it was Mike Sfraga, and he said it was an important aspect, and I too spoke with a constituent actually over the weekend in Fairbanks, a ICE specialist, someone who spends a lot of time in the Arctic and does a lot of research up there and is familiar with all the aspects, natural resources that are certainly in play in that area, and he expressed to me the importance of the Law of the Sea and that other countries right now are involved in staking out their territory and such, Japan specifically, and other countries, and he expressed to me that it was important to be part of that treaty. So I want to be on the record to say that. Thank you.
Yes. The Law of the Sea Treaty, that's, of course, in front of the U.S. Senate. The importance of having an Arctic policy is very good. But this legislation talks about, you know, is we got to advocate, regardless of the Law of the Sea Treaty, we must advocate as Alaskans that the Arctic is very important to us, and that's why we're joined with the Institute of the North in to make sure that we do our best efforts to promote the Arctic, since the Arctic Council will be in our state for 2 years with a lot of visitors that are going to affect circumpolar Arctic policy. And just so I have it on the record, is that the legislature is policy-making body, and the executive branch that executes that policy. So it's very important that we have as much say in Arctic decisions that affect us as much as possible as 60 members of this legislature.
So. And can I follow up with a question on that? And would it be, in your opinion, based on the fact that you've been working on this issue for a while, or Arctic policy for a while, by not being a part of the Law of the Sea treaty, does that cripple the ability of our country to, as you say, be active advocates for our interests in terms of in the Arctic area? Does it cripple that, or does it hinder the ability of our country to push forward our interests by not being a part of that treaty?
I don't think so, Representative Ortiz, is that we all bind ourselves to nearly all the provisions within the Law of the Sea Treaty. The only one that gives a lot of people heartache is the UN mining law provision. And in fact, the first president to object to the Law of the Sea Treaty was Ronald Reagan. And once he got the changes he wanted, then he endorsed the Law of the Sea Treaty. It is an important one, and what we must look at is, I believe, there is going to be an imperative. I don't know what it is. I don't know when it will happen, but there will be a change in people's minds for all the right reasons why we should be some signer on the Law of the Sea Treaty. But to be straightforward here, it's not its time right now, and I don't see any problem being patient with signing on to the Law of the Sea Treaty.
Thank you.
Okay. Seeing nothing, Representative Tilton, I would ask you, I'll entertain a motion to move this the ACR 5 from committee.
I move that we move HCR 5
as amended
with individual recommendations from committee
and zero
fiscal note.
Okay, thank you. Any objection? Seeing none, HCR 5 as amended with individual recommendations and zero fiscal notes due from committee. We're adjourned at 11:46. Thank you.